so we can start with the Metta Sutta.
Do we normally say Namo Tassa three times or not?
So we just start off with Namo Tassa three times, then we'll start. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Okay, now we start with the chanting of the Metta Sutta. The words of loving kindness. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise will later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living things that they be, whether they are weak or strong, or needy none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger and ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart, should grant cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downward to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. Whether standing, walking, or seated, sitting or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the divine abiding. By not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Okay, so you see, before I start, I'm just ask: is there any new people here for the first time? No, so I guess everyone is basically quite regular. Okay. So the reason why I ask this is sometimes if any new people are here, sometimes it's better I give a basic introduction. If not, it can be quite confusing. But if most people are here regular, then it's okay. I can start. Okay. So usually the topic is always about meditation. And with meditation, is always hard to always maintain a constant practice. I mean, even myself, I've been practicing for about quite a long time now. I started meditating when I was 23, and I continued to practice as a lay person and stay at the monastery until 11 years later, before I ordained as a monastic. So I've been practicing for about more than 24 years now, and I always find that it's always difficult, and sometimes it can be a struggle, and then have to work through this with the struggle, because I find that if I get ahead of meditation too quickly, and go try and develop calm and stillness too quick, then it can basically I can get nowhere and get really frustrated. So sometimes I realize sometimes I have to go back always to the basic. So the basic is always to relax the body and to calm the body and allow the body become peaceful and still. And once the body is quite relaxed, then we go to the breath. When you go to the breath, sometimes it will take a while for the mind to slowly calm down and become peaceful. Because with meditation, the goal is not to stop thinking. The goal is to allow our thoughts, our feelings, our memory to slowly, slowly calm down. Because if we don't calm things down, then we'll be using force to calm things down. And we use force too much, it's too much of a will, forceful energy that won't get any result. So the result was sometimes a headache or too much pressure right in front of your forehead. Yeah. So in the beginning, when I started meditating as a layperson, I got good results because I was learning to let go. But as I practice more and as I study more in the Buddhism and all the different stages, then it becomes more of a craving. So the wanting and the desire to get good results was there. So I really forced myself, sit for hours. And I go to the monastery, I sit for 4 hours. Then after lunch, sit for another 4 hours. Then in the evening, sit for another 4 hours. And it basically got me nowhere in my practice and got me a headache. So after a while, I learned to basically just let things go and let things be. And I gave up forcing myself to practice. And after that, I realized that the result came. Came naturally, because I wasn't using willpower. I was using letting go. When you let go, things will slowly fade away, because we cannot stop thinking straight away. Because thinking is always a part of the process of being a human being. So I was wondering how much do we actually think. So I was looking at the internet for some figures. So scientists estimate that we think about 50,000 thoughts a day, up to 90,000 thoughts a day. So that work out to be an average of 2,000 thoughts an hour. So there's a lot of thinking and planning in our mind. And these days, with things more busier, so people are more active. Even when I go back home, I see my mom and my dad is using the tablet smartphone. And sometimes even my little nephew is using the tablet. And sometimes when I on the road driving with the trainees, with the Anagagas driving around to shoppings and stuff for the monastery, going to Bunnings, sometimes we will drive past the school and the bus stand, and we notice the kids are also using the smartphone too. So people are getting very busy these days. So I'm sometimes wondering how are they going to meditate and calm their mind down if they're so active. The goal of meditation is to slowly let things settle. So as our thoughts slowly calm and become lessened, then the mindfulness will slowly just arise. So the power of mindfulness comes from a very calm, peaceful, still mind. Yeah, it does not come from thinking, overthinking. It's come from this awareness. So when our thinking becomes calmer, so what's left is just awareness. We're more aware of what's going on, but the active thinking mind is not there. It's like almost an echo in the background. So when we see things, we just know. When we drive a car, we just know. When we go shopping, we just know. When you do a task, we just know. But somehow it's been overtaken by thinking and planning too much. So planning and thinking is going ahead of this moment, thinking about the future. Tomorrow, what's going to do for work? Who are we going to meet when our friends are coming over? Or what is our family members doing? Or think of the past, what have we done in the past? So I think this planning is good, but sometimes when we over-plan and it becomes a habit, and when we go back home, our thinking thoughts still continue to function. And sometimes when that is not letting go, people can develop anxiety and worry because it's just overthinking about things in the future that have not arisen. So that's why Buddhism has become very popular, especially in the West, especially meditation, because people want to really learn to let go of stress and anxiety. Even myself, I got into meditation because I was just overthinking. I thought that I'll think my way out of my problem and try and be smarter, try and be a clever person, try and do things, try to basically compete with everyone else at work and outperform everyone. But what it does is just made me more anxiety, more angry and more upset. And sometimes the problem is not even solved. So when I started learning meditation, I realized that when I calm the mind down and make everything settle and let go of business, then when the mindfulness is there, then the problem and the solution, it just come naturally. Not through willpower, just through wisdom. So wisdom basically is just learning to let things go, let things be. Then the next day, the solution will come naturally, right naturally, not from thinking, just from seeing things clearly. Because when we overthink, when we overplan, and we overdo things, sometimes the defilements will arise from the mind. So the defilements are mainly greed, attachment, anger, or this distraction, this not discontent, not content with things, and the delusion of itself. I am better. I know what's good for me. Like he or she is wrong. I'm right. Because when we let go of the idea of self and just go into silence, regardless if we are right or wrong, then we can see things clearly. Because sometimes if we're too biased at something, then it tends to cloud wisdom. So wisdom comes from not getting caught up with the drama or things out in the world. Because you look at news, you look at politicians, and you look at other people that's trying to get their way in the world. I mean, sometimes you realize they're just getting themselves into more trouble and causing suffering to themselves and other people. So that's why when we chant the Metta Sutta, sometimes we have to learn to be simple, easily satisfied, and contented in our ways. Because sometimes we have too much of a conceit, sometimes it can lead to suffering. So if we keep things simply, basically just simple is best. I mean, at workplace, dealing with other people in society, sometimes we have to be careful. We have to protect ourselves. But when we go back home to our family members, then we don't have to carry all the baggage from work back home. We can learn to be more content and more develop more loving kindness and gentleness and understanding and forgiveness, especially to our family members. So it's quite interesting with meditation. So meditation is basically just bring up that awareness. It is a technique or a tool to develop wisdom. Because sometimes, even if we sit down and we can't meditate and the mind is still very confused and scattered, then just go for a walk around the park, go a walk and look at the trees, look at the birds, look at the kangaroos, and it does have a very calming and energy to one's heart and mind. And if that don't work, maybe just do a walking meditation. So walking meditation is just walking back and forward in the same location. So you walk maybe 20 step or 30 step or even 40 step, depending on the size of the room. You don't have to count the step, just walk from one end of the room and back. And what you do in walking meditation is you allow your mind to be aware on the sensation of your foot, just lifting, moving, stepping forward and touching down and lifting the back. So sometimes if our mind is very scattered, then it's good to switch to a walking meditation. Just when you're aware of your feet walking, stepping forward and dropping, you feel the sensation, and that have allow the mind to be aware of your step, and that will slowly calm the awareness, calm the mind down. So once the mind is calm and peaceful, then you can sit, bring your awareness to the breath, and allow things to become more still and more calm. The benefit of a walking meditation, because it is a moving action, if you're good at doing walking meditation, then you find that you do tasks at work, in the workplace, or driving, it becomes awareness on what you're doing when you're driving. You're holding the steering wheel, you know where your feet is going and touching the pedals, and you're aware of what you're doing. So when you're driving, you're not constantly thinking, you're just aware of the moment. Okay, so maybe I'll stop just going on and on and on, because sometimes I give too much like advice, it might just get sounds a bit boring. Okay, yes. But also with meditation, the good thing is people have done meditation for I think the shortest scientists found is from 4 to 8 weeks that the brain structure left of the brain actually changed. And it developed more white matters where you improve awareness and concentration, and also that you become more sensitive, and things like compassion and sensitivity to other people increase. So scientists have found that for meditators that attend a 8-week class for meditation, that their brain structure actually changes. Okay, so that's quite interesting, things I read on the internet. Okay, so so we bought it again. You can turn off the light. Yep. Thank you. I think we'll turn this off too. Yes, so that way it's darker. Thank you. Yes. Okay, so sometimes I don't know how much instruction I'll give for the guided meditation, but we just see how things go. Okay, so while sitting comfortably, okay, now gently close your eye. So with your eye closed, your awareness is always at the front of your face. It's always good to calm everything down more. I bring your awareness to the body first. So with the awareness from the top of your head, we learn to relax the part of our body. So relax our face, relax, and we relax our eyes, relax our jaw, relax our neck. Relax our upper body. Allow both our left and right shoulder to just hang down so it's not so stiff. Now we relax both our arms. Relax. Allow it to slowly calm and disappear. Then we relax our fingers, our palm, Now we gently bring awareness to our back. Relax our back. Relax our chest. And then we relax our tummy. Then we relax our lower back, we're sitting on the cushion. And if you need to move around, make it comfortable, please do that. Make sure it's not too tight. Nice and relaxed. Now we bring our awareness to our leg, both our leg. Make sure it's not too stiff, nice and loose. Then we relax our leg. Now we bring our awareness to our feet. Make sure it's nice and comfortable. Not too cold, and we relax our feet, relax our sole of our feet, relax our toe, relax, relax this body. Okay, now we gently bring our awareness up to our face. With the body relaxed, now we can bring our awareness to our breathing. And just notice our breathing in and breathing out calmly, peacefully, naturally, softly. Sometimes it's always good just to remind ourselves, we breathe in peace, we breathe out, letting go, breathe in peace, breathe out, letting go. Let's breathe naturally. As our mind slowly calm and unwind from busyness of daily life, we feel the tension of the body slowly and we can become at ease. As we use the breath to calm the mind, it's also calm the body. Any tension, any stiffness, any pain from the body, just allow things to relax, allow it to fade away. We use a breath to calm the body, to relax the body, and to calm our thoughts. Do need to move around, just move around gently until you're comfortable, then relax the body, then gently bring your awareness back to the breath and relax. And make peace with this moment. finish the meditation soon. So please just relax in the moment of a few minutes of calm and peace. As your body becomes relaxed, it becomes quite comfortable. The mind becomes calm and peaceful. So allow the awareness just to abide in this comfort and ease. So please enjoy this moment before we finish. And relax. Ring the gong 3 times, come on slowly. Everyone is relaxed. Just enjoy the moment. Because especially if you have a busy day, it does take a while for the body to settle, and for our mind, our wandering thoughts to slowly calm down. Because sometimes it's quite natural. Once it's calmer, then the mind will act automatically, becomes busy again. When that happens, it's okay. Just go back to the breath and just allow the mind to slowly settle. Because with meditation, it's not to stop the thinking. So allows everything to settle and make peace with the moment. And if you can train your mind to just be in the moment, then it is a different way of developing calm, because calm and peace will arise naturally when the mind is just aware at the moment. Because when we are lack of awareness, then the mind is scattered. It goes from the past into the future, and it goes all over the world and back. So if we are aware of this moment, then we are mindful. So when the mindfulness is there, you see the calm and the peace is always there. Because I have spoken to quite a few practitioners that have been on retreats for 3 months, for 9 days, for 3 days, and they've been practicing for many, many years. And they say that if once the mind or the awareness is basically, when you get into the zone of meditation, the mind is really relaxed and peaceful, the body is quite calm and peaceful and relaxed, then they describe that the 5 senses become sharper. You can see better, you can hear better, you can smell, you can taste, and the sense of touch is even stronger. Yeah. So this is like almost like superpower mindfulness arise in the mind. So it's like you're awake and you're fully awake. And if those stages of samadhi and awareness is developed even further through keeping the precept and naturally purifying the mind, what happens next is the mind becomes bright and radiant. and serene. And you see, we call that the mind seeing the seeing itself like a reflection of the mind. When you look at a mirror, you see your face. But when you close your eye and meditate and everything calm down, becomes very calm and peaceful and serene, then what happens is the mind becomes so still that you see a image of a light arising. So when that light arises, we call that the nimitta. So when that happens, just go into the calm and the stillness, then the nimitta will become brighter and brighter. And some people really absorb in the nimitta. So this is quite natural, once the body disappears and the mind becomes very calm and peaceful. And when that happens, you come out meditation and you have this like natural high and peace. Then you can walk through the day having a strong calm mindfulness. And sometimes you can look up in the sky and look at the stars. And you notice no matter where you look, you can see the star. But everything is not black anymore. It's always white, radiant, like looking into a cloud. So this is natural stages of meditation coming from a still mind. So this is quite normal because when you have people that have been practicing for many, many, many years and have purified their mind, so naturally all those good qualities of calm and peace and kindness arise naturally in one's heart. Things like anger and frustration or just a complete scattered mind is not really there. It's basically been letting go. So the mind has become purified like gold, very pure and precious. So that's why people in the world, they like doing meditation. They like to stay in quiet places. And some people like to ordain and become monastic because this is the happiness of a free mind. Not caught up with worldly happiness through the five senses. So just keep practicing the result will come. Because I've been a monk for about 12 years and I met a lot of people and I realized some of people are getting good practice. Okay, so any questions? Anyone have any questions? No? Everyone's pretty relaxed. Okay, it's good. So let's continue to relax. And when the sutta come, do we continue to do the chanting or we do something else?
Chanting.
Do a chanting. Okay, no worries. So you like to, we can do the declaration of merit. Sharing your merit. Through the goodness that arise in my practice, may all spiritual leaders and guides of great virtues, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings and guardian spirits of the earth, the Lord of Death, may those who are friendly, indifferent and hostile, may all beings receive the blessing of my life, may those who attain the grateful hope with I see that bliss through the goodness that arises in my practice, all through the acts of sharing, may all sighs and touches cease, and all humble state of mind, until I realize Nirvana in every kind of birth, may I impart in my mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor, may all forces of delusion are taken hold, nor weaken my reserve. The Buddha is the excellent refuge, the unprocessed protection of the Dharma. This solitude Buddha is my noble Lord. The Sangha is the supreme support. Through the spirit I will offer those my all God members and delicious yes. Interesting, because this chant normally the monks in Bodhiyana we normally don't chant this thing. Yes, because sometimes, I think some monastic like chanting this. Some monastic don't really like to. In Dhammaloka we don't really chant this because sometimes all this is a bit weird. And sometimes it can be a bit cultish like so that's why I was going this is a bit weird. Yeah. I mean, even because I'm Asian, I come from Asian background, and I've been conditioned in the West, when I mean this one is nice, the Metta Sutta, but this one I chanted, some things don't make sense. So Ajahn Brahmali reckoned that this might be added in after the Buddha's passing away. So this might be added in by other monastic to chant. Because when I read some of this stuff, it's a bit weird. It don't make sense. Yeah. But I think the main thing is to develop a good heart and wishing everyone happiness and joy. And goodwill to all beings. That's the main thing. Because sometimes we get too into too much chanting. It can be a bit cultish, I find. Yeah. But the first one is nice, and even a lot of monks, we don't really take too many chanting by heart, because some Ajahn Brahmali believe some of the chanting was actually made up after the Buddha passed away. Yeah? Because sometimes a lot of monks really get into too much rites and rituals. And sometimes rites and ritual is good if there's a benefit of deepening one's practice. But if it's just become a ritual, then it does not lead to anywhere sometimes. So that's only my personal view. So I could be wrong. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if there's no more questions, then any questions? Anyone? No? Okay, so thanks for coming and joining together in this guided meditation and a short Dharma talk, question and answer. I really enjoy coming over and giving a guided meditation. So tomorrow I'm leaving the Cambodian Buddhist Society and going back to the main monastery for 2 weeks. So after 2 weeks, I'll be going to Melbourne to help support Newbury Buddhist Monastery. So that's a new monastery, and it's been open for 7 years, and I've been supporting that monastery for at least five years now, and the monks in Bodhiyana have a few places to move around, so it's good to move around. So this class is nice and simple, because sometimes when I go back to Melbourne, the classes is getting bigger, we're getting more and more people coming in, and this year we're planning to build a retreat center there for up to 60 rooms for people to come and stay. So and we're building a bigger Dharma hall, so hopefully there will be more people in Melbourne that's interested to practice meditation and Buddhism. Okay, so thank you for coming, and please drive back carefully and mindfully back home. So have a safe trip back home. Thank you.
Ajahn Brahm's birthday party is basically a fundraising for that new meditation center.
Yes. So this year Ajahn Brahm's birthday is going to help raise funds for the new retreat center down in Victoria. So it's good to have two retreat centers, one here in Western Australia and another one on the other side of Australia in Victoria. Because we find that as the world's becoming very confusing, a lot of people are getting interested into just developing the heart and the mind. Because sometimes if we look for external happiness, it's just more work, more hardship and more confusion. And at the end of the day, we feel very empty inside. So what the spiritual practice with Dharma, Buddha Dharma Sangha, is to develop one virtue, develop one happiness and contentment in one's heart, and develop wisdom. First, wisdom will see the harm and suffering of one's unskillful action, and you see the suffering of other people in the world. So when we see the cause and condition, we no longer get dragged into the nonsense what's happening in the world. So we develop that happiness inside. So that's why I think Buddhism meditation has become very popular all over the world now, because people are just sometimes a bit lost. And when you look inside into our heart, then we find all the happiness, peace and freedom and understanding and wisdom. It's always in our heart and our mind, but we're just looking in the wrong place. Okay, thank you. Good night.
Blessing. Oh, okay.
Okay. Sapamangala Rakan to Sapa Devata Sapa Buddha Nubhavena Sadasuti Avantute Pavatu Sangam Langalam Rakan to Sapa Devata Sapa Dhamma Nubhavena Sadasuti Avantute Pavatu Sangam Langalam Rakan to Sapa Devata Sapa Sangha Nubhavena Sadasuti Pavantu Te.
Thank you. Okay. Yep, good night.